Acts 2 and Acts 3, so we just had to do it separate. But it's a great topic for myself, my own story. And tonight it's going to be a lot of my own testimony and something I'm sure is applicable for many here. I have been for the last 5 or 6 years a facilitator, certified facilitator there with the Fayette County Fatherhood Initiative. And so we go into the jail. We have a program called Inside Out Dad. And we also have a program on the outside called 24/7 Dad, where we do take 12 weeks and we just get with men who a lot of times are disengaged from their families. Some maybe on the outside especially who are engaged, but they just feel like they're not really plugged into their lives. Maybe they feel like they're kind of absentee dads. And so we don't like to use the term deadbeat dad. Different fathers just haven't had an example. And so how do we pour into these guys? We use the illustration. I wouldn't tell you to go and fix an HVAC unit or some other thing that needs fixing and not give you the tools to fix it. And so oftentimes we're born into this world without instructions on how to be parents. And so this is applicable. A lot of what we'll talk about tonight isn't just for fathers, it's for women too. And that's the same thing that Justin was making the point, that on Mother's Day, oftentimes the mothers are the fathers. My own story, my dad, I didn't meet him until I was 12, so my mother had to fill both of those roles. One of the things that we talk about in fatherhood class is that, yes, the man, the father, he's a protector, a provider. He's supposed to be macho and masculine. And if you heard that video, it sounds like I'm beating my kids up every day because every one of them said they like to fight. I fight them and throw them on the couch. But not only are we supposed to do those things, but we also have to be nurturing. And so just because I'm the dad doesn't mean that I can't be a nurturer, right? Or just because I'm the mom doesn't mean that I can't feel some of those other aspects or the attributes of a father, because that's what's needed and that's what the role we have to feel. So the scripture that we're working off of tonight comes out of the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37, verse 23. And it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Or if King James, like that I prefer, "he delighteth in his way," but we changed it up for you. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So the question tonight is, are your steps ordered by the Lord? Men and women, father or not, mother or not, are your steps ordered by the Lord? Are you obediently walking in his word, his will, and his way? Dr. J.P. Moreland says it like this. He says, "If character and deep well-being is our goal, we will learn to see ourselves in light of a larger cause, the outworking of God's plan in history. We will be preoccupied with finding our role in the cause and playing it well. Our passion will be to see all of life's activities as occasions to draw near to and become like the triune God. We will hunger to become the kind of person who skillfully makes those around us better at living their lives as well. Our long-term focus will be on giving ourselves away to others for Christ's sake. We will see all of life's activities as an occasion to draw near to and become like the triune God." And that triune God that we're talking about, he is a father, he is a king, he is a provider, he's a protector. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. And so even for those of us who did not know what an earthly father looked like, maybe ever, or maybe just for the large portion of our childhood, we know that we have an example in a heavenly father. That's the beautiful thing about that song, is this is our father's world. This is the father's world. And then at those times when we lay in our bed at night and we cry and we feel like we don't have somebody to hold us or to guide us, we can rest assured knowing that we have a father in heaven. And the beautiful thing about that father, something that I have to even remind myself, is that that father can truly be our protector. You see, me, Adrian, while I want to protect my 5 babies, and I will do anything to do that, to the point that I've said that if somebody hurt my child, would I be willing to not take revenge or vengeance in my own hands and allow the Lord to do that? That's a tough thing as an earthly father to do, right? As a military man, I want to respond in a certain way to threats, right? But I realize that ultimately I have no power. There's only so much that I can do, and he has not called me to do that, right? But he truly is our protector, that I cannot be with my 5 babies their whole lives, but he is omnipresent. He is omniscient, and he's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipowerful, omnipotent. I'm sorry, I don't know, drew a blank. He's all-powerful, right? And so that's the father that we need to seek to become like, realizing, though, that we can't do it We cannot do it all, and that we have to give it up and just be obedient to what he's called us to do. That our long-term focus should be on giving ourselves away to others for Christ's sake. And he tells us to do that in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Jesus tells us in the Great Commandment that this commandment I give you above all else, you can hang all the other prophets on it, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor like yourself. He commands us to do that. And then he says that the Great Commission, the thing that I've left you on this earth to do, we find that in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. He says to go and make disciples, baptize them, teaching them everything that I've told you to do. That is the only reason we're still on this earth. He says, I'm not slack concerning my promise, but I don't desire that anybody should perish. He is coming back. He is coming back for his church because, as the song said, he is not satisfied yet because he has defeated death. And yes, he has won the war, but there are battles daily in all of our lives, especially as parents. And we realize that we have got to lean and depend on him, and that he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And that church has got to be obedient to what he's called us to do. And it's the outworking of that great commandment and that great commission. And what we have to remember is that that great commission, that great commandment, it starts at home. Our first disciples are our wives or our husbands and our children. That we are called to care for our own homes. That we are commanded to do that. You see, I was baptized at 9 years old on Prawl Street over on campus at UK. We had an old school shotgun church, and we didn't have a baptismal. It was down in the floor, so you had to pick the floor. We had to move the pews first. We picked the floor up to get down in it and fill it up. It was always freezing cold. I was baptized at 9 years old. I have my great-grandmother had five boys, three girls. I have five preachers in my family. One female, four of my great-uncles are all pastors. My grandfather, however, was the only one that wasn't. So I grew up thinking I was going to be an attorney and be a judge like him, but little did I know that God had different plans for me, right? So, but my, I say that to say that I come from a godly family. I had a good example of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, but I wasn't being obedient for a lot of that time. One of the big things that I thought was important was to not run around with a bunch of women when I was in high school. And I waited a lot longer to become active in that way with girls than most of my friends. But there was a time and a period of darkness in my life once I got into the military that I was being disobedient. And so I say that to say that even though I was baptized at a young age, I wasn't being obedient to what he called me to do. And so my now wife, Jennifer, and I started having kids. We had three kids before we got married. We had three children out of wedlock. Why? Because I didn't want to man up to be the father that I was called and commanded to be. God called me. He gave me those babies. Yet I was wanting to have my cake and eat it too. I wanted to have the bachelor life. See, God calls us to be fathers, to be protectors and providers for them. And we can't do that if we're running from that responsibility. But too many people in our society today are doing just that. Too many people don't value marriage. Too many people that I know in my circle who are running from that commitment, right? And so that's why we have to share our stories. We have to be willing to show an example of what the transformation of Christ can do. I love in Romans 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, the pattern of this world is to just mess around and do whatever you want to. Don't take care of responsibilities. Never get married, right? Don't be with just one woman as God intended. That's the pattern of this world. But it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's how we allow God to order our steps, is when we start to be obedient to what this says. And it doesn't happen until we get this right. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, that when the enemy comes at us, that we have to realize our weapons of this world, they're not carnal, they're not of flesh, but mighty through God is pulling down a stronghold so that we can take thoughts captive. Again, it's the thoughts. The thoughts come in and they attempt to tempt us to be disobedient to what he's called and commanded us to do. We have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. That, again, is how we allow him to order our steps. That is how we walk in the light and not in darkness. 1 John speaks to that. He says that if anybody says that they are without sin, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. But if we truly walk in the light as he is in the light and we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us our sins. See, we can be transformed, but we have to desire to. That's the reason why Paul says that to the Romans in that 12th chapter. Because he's saying, don't be conformed. I realize it's tempting. I realize that this is just the way it is, right? Everybody else is doing it. Why wouldn't we? But he commands us to be different. He commands us to be peculiar, to be salt and light to a dark and decaying world. People should want to know about us. What is it that's so different about us? And again, that is the thing that makes a godly man, a man who is willing to step up and take care of his home. There are three aspects of this godly father that we're going to talk about tonight. The first is the physical aspect. The second is the emotional. And then the last is spiritual. So the physical aspect of being a godly father, we find that scripture in 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but if someone doesn't provide for their own family, and especially for a member of their household, they have denied the faith. They are worse than those who have no faith. God commands us to take care of our families, to be providers. But too often, too many people shirk that responsibility. Too many people run from physically taking care of their homes. God has commanded us to take care and provide. And again, we have an example in God the Father. I had a father tell me one time in Fayette County Detention Center that he robbed a store because he was trying to provide diapers for his child. And it broke my heart. And so when we realize that a lot of people truly do want to take care of their kids, but there are systemic issues at times that keep people from doing things. And then our criminal justice system, because once these guys are in the system, they want to provide, but they can't get a job because so many places aren't hiring. So it's systemic and it's perpetual. And so we as a community, as the body of Christ, have to come alongside them in that, because far too many of our fathers, 70 million people in America, more than the entire population in Great Britain, have criminal records. 1 in 3 people have criminal records. How can you provide if you can't get a job? It's a fact, right? And so we as the body must come alongside that through programs like Jubilee Jobs and Jobs for Life at the Rescue Mission. These are things that we can do as the body to come alongside these faith-based initiatives to come alongside these men who want to physically provide for their families but can't because of the systemic injustices that exist. The second piece, one of my favorites in our class, is the emotional aspect. Colossians 3, verse 21, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. They may become disheartened. Too many of us men have issues connecting emotionally. We use an example of how the weight of the world comes upon us sometimes, and we drag our feelings around. And it just keeps us, it immobilizes us oftentimes as men. Men don't know how to deal with emotions, and so then they don't teach their children how to have a healthy relationship with their emotions. And when we talk about discipline, discipline comes from a Latin root, disciplus, which means to lead, guide, or teach. Discipline is not always punishment, but that's the way that men often deal with behavioral issues. Or if their children are going through emotional issues, they're acting out for different reasons. So again, nobody's blaming these guys who have been a little too rough on their kids. It's lovingly coming alongside them and saying, okay, hey, listen, here's some emotions, here's how we deal with it, and here's understanding exactly what God has called us to do and the method in which he has called us to disciple our children, to lead, guide, and teach them, that we have to balance punishment with rewards. That's what discipline is about. That it's not always the punishment, that we have to also insert some rewards in there, that we use this example of how to shepherd our children, the emotional aspect. Then the last and most important aspect is the spiritual. Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, fathers, Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God calls us to make disciples. And I've got five little disciples in my house. And many of you have disciples in your homes. How are we using our time with our children to make disciples? Are they going to school and being lights? Are they willing to pray with kids? It warmed my heart. Audrey, last school year, said that a little girl was crying because she had to move. And she was leaving school, and she was afraid about leaving, and I think that her parents were going through a divorce. And Audrey, my 10-year-old, said, well, can I pray with you? And I was just so, she shocked me. I mean, I always want that for them, but she's usually not the type of person to go there and say, hey, let me pray. But she, you know, this was the first time that she had ever done that. I think she's also the same kid that when she was a toddler in kindergarten told somebody that was going to hell. And I was like, whoa. I was like, I don't even say that. Like, don't tell, that is not okay. Okay? Now, I mean, if you see something in somebody's life and they're not doing what they should do, you can maybe say, you know, you'll be eternally separated from God. Be a better, you know, more PC way of saying it. But don't tell people they're going to hell. So, but it warmed my heart. That's what we want for our children. We want them to be trained up in the admonition and the fear of the Lord. But we have to do it for ourselves first. I can't expect my children to be godly children if I'm not a godly man and a godly father. If we're going to lead spiritually, we have to be spiritual leadership. If we want them to be spiritual, we have to be spiritual. We have to press towards that mark for the prize of Christ, that we would be that example, that we don't just say, as my mama used to say, do as I say and not as I do, right? That we won't be hypocrites, but we'll actually do it, that we will set that example, that we will lead, that we will bring them to church on Sundays, that we'll study his word, that when we watch television, what are we watching? When we listen to music, what are we listening to? What are we filling up? What are we bringing into our homes? Don't give Satan a place in your life. The enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But God has come to give us life and give it to us abundantly, right? And if we understand that, then we realize what that, like the song that we sang, we get rid of that brokenness, but it's about the joy. God comes to bring us joy, and we can enjoy our families. We need to bring joy to these broken homes, too many of the fatherless homes that exist in this community. We can be those fathers. We can bring that joy to those homes, that darkness. It broke my heart this week on Tuesday that a little girl, 11-year-old, was having a slumber party just a few blocks away, and her home was shot up. And I was at the police banquet that night, and we found out that the father was around some of the wrong people. That's the things that oftentimes we bring into our homes. And it's not about judgment. It's just about the way that this world is, and it's about showing them a better way. Too many of the children that we have at our summer camp experience the exact same thing, that they are in these broken homes and broken situations of darkness, right? One of our little girls from summer camp was molested recently, and it broke my heart. You just want to snatch them out of that. But we have to do all that we can. If we can't take them, what can we do to come in and fill that void, to fill the gap as the body of Christ? We have got to be the spiritual leadership for the homes that don't have it, because we realize that this is Satan's world. God has allowed him to roam about seeking, right? He is seeking to destroy us, to destroy the church. And we, the body of Christ, when there aren't fathers in the home, that we have to come in and again fill that gap. To be a godly man, we have to be obedient and walk in the way that the Lord has ordered for us. It broke my heart. Jennifer, my wife, she broke down crying one night. We were talking about our dads, and we were just talking about the fact that, yeah, I met my dad when I was 12. And hers, she got a divorce. Her dad was divorced when she was young, and so she didn't ever really have a father. And we went to see him. He was in the hospital. He's been in the hospital three times now, and he wouldn't come out to see her. And it was at that night when it just, it, it,
She broke down crying because she realized that, and it became real, that we have a heavenly Father. That even when our earthly fathers let us down, that we have a heavenly Father who will never leave us or forsake us. That we can call him Abba Father, Daddy. That he loves us. And so tonight, as Justin said, if any of you have lost a father, maybe you've never had one, maybe you need a relationship with him, maybe you felt a guilty distance from the Father, we're here for you. That's what restoration is all about. We truly believe that Jesus is restoring people who restore the world, that we want to restore these fathers. When I go into a jail cell or one of these classes where we do 24/7 dad, that I come in with the expectation that Jesus is going to transform and restore those men to those homes. And so but we have to first be obedient, that we allow the Lord to order our steps, not just the fathers, but in every one of us, that it's not about what I want to do with my time. It's about being obedient to what he told us to do in Matthew 28, that we would go out and make disciples. That, yes, Netflix is tempting, but sometimes maybe just an hour or two. On Friday night, I'll go and paint faces at the Latino Festival because I realize I can connect with people in the community. Because it's not about me. It's about being a godly man or woman and allowing him to order my steps and to dictate my time, right? Because this life is all about the giving of ourselves away to others for Christ's sake. It's about us being obedient to his word, his will, and his way. I love my father. And we have a good relationship now. But I want to be a better man. I don't want Caleb to run around like I did. I want Caleb to be a man who truly sets the example, who has one woman, one wife. And that can be done. But we have to be setting that example. We have to show them what that looks like. And we have to bring them up according to this book. And so as I close, I just want to offer to you that if you are a parent and you've been struggling with not just the physical, the parenting, because they're running around and they're driving you crazy, whatever it is, or maybe you're struggling with the emotional, you don't understand how to deal with their outbursts, or maybe you feel like you've been a little too tough on them. Whatever it is that you need, we can connect you with those resources. But right now, tonight, spiritually, if you're struggling with anything in your life, we realize that we have a Father who loves us, who wants the best for us. Our Heavenly Father has given us life. And he wants you to have that life. We realize that he stands at the door and he knocks. And that if any of us in this world end up eternally separated from him, it's because we chose to. If any of us are struggling with brokenness tonight, we have a Heavenly Father who wants to embrace us. We have a Father who loves us more than we love ourselves. And so if you would stand with me as the band sings, we're going to take communion after this. But before you come forward for communion, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, if you feel a guilty distance away, maybe you've been baptized, but maybe you've been running from your families, whatever it is, God forgives you. He loves you. And he stands with his arms wide open. Justin will be up front. I'll be in the back. If you need anything, if you want to pray us to pray with you, Jamie will be available as well. And for any of the ladies that will feel more comfortable. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, we'd love to pray with you.
the blood that Jesus shed for me. It soothes my doubt.